If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. One thing, the Supreme Court this morning has upheld the University of Texas Affirmative Action Plan. Won't spend a great deal of time on this, but basically, a young woman applied to the University of Texas. She was in the top 10% of her graduating class, supposedly guaranteed admission, but
didn't make it.
Didn't make it because she was thrown in with people who didn't get the same grade she did, but were of non-white races. The plaintiff's name is Abigail Fisher, a white woman for Texas. In 2012, the justices issued a narrow opinion, sending the case back down to a lower court for another look. The lower court upheld the school program, and Anna went back to the Supreme Court, and 4-3 today. Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kennedy against the conservatives. Clarence Thomas wrote his own dissent. Chief Justice Roberts joined Alito's dissent.
She kind of had a point.
She had a
in bringing, because the University of Texas traditionally has what they call the top 10% program, where they basically announce that they will accept anybody.
You're in the top 10% of your school.
Who graduates in the top 10% from a high school in the state of Texas.
Right.
And she did, but she didn't make the cutoff and assumed it was because of ethnic diversity programs.
She sued, claiming the school had discriminated against her based on her race in violation of equal protection clauses. In Texas, high school seniors, as you said, who graduate the top 10 are automatically admitted to the public university of their choice. On top of that program, UT also considers race and other factors for admission. Since Fisher did not qualify for the program, she then applied with other applicants, some of whom were entitled to racial preferences.
Mm-hmm.
She was denied admission.
You know, she did. And she ended up at LSU and, and graduated from LSU.
Yep. Lawyers for Fisher said in court paper, that's how swiftly justice moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Said in court papers that since UT already had a race-neutral plan in place, the school shouldn't have layered on another program that takes race into consideration. Fisher's case was backed by the Project on Fair Representation, a conservative group behind a case in 2013 that invalidated a key provision of the Voting Rights Act. Fisher did not ask the court to forbid race-conscious programs altogether, but focused on the Texas plan. I think eight states have already dropped race as a consideration.
As Carl told us years ago, he said the reason they came up with some of these programs in the first place is because of what generally people in the South were doing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for instance, at the University of Mississippi, for a long time, if they had to choose between, you know, a white guy with a C average or a straight A student that was black, they would pick the white guy with a C average.
True.
And that was essentially the first time the Supreme Court ruled on this. They ruled that it was okay to consider race when you were trying to achieve a certain balance in the school. However, at the time, Sandra Day O'Connor was on the she was a fairly new judge at the time, or a new justice at the time. And she wrote the opinion and said that she supposed that in about 25 years, which, let's see, I'm not sure when that'll be up, but she said in about 25 years from the time she wrote the opinion that probably we wouldn't have to use things like affirmative action and whatnot anymore, but that at that time there were still a lot of colleges that were trying to keep, like, for instance, an all-white school if they could.
Okay, back in 98. Before it could take race into consideration, Texas had 199 African-American enrollees in a class of 6,744, or 3% of the incoming class. By 2008, under the race-conscious policy at issue, that number doubled For Hispanics, the number grew to 20% in 2008. UT simply seeks minority students with different backgrounds, different experiences, different perspectives, lawyer Gregory Gain argued in court briefs. That's Gary, G-A-R-R-E. At oral arguments in December, Justice Scalia, drew controversy when he referred to an amicus brief filed in the case that suggests the affirmative action programs don't always benefit minorities. But they ruled that way. It's amazing. And black people, Hispanics, whomever who have been denied, as you gave an example.
Well, and that's
many years.
That's the reason. Now, on the surface, you would say, is it fair to judge someone based on their race? And you say, no, that's what racism is all about. However, there is still a certain amount of reverse racism that exists, but it exists for a purpose. And the reason is, for about 100 years or better, in the South especially, blacks were not given any rights to the best stuff. Like, you couldn't go to the University of Texas.
Right.
You could go to an all-black school, but it was
Texas Arlington.
It was not going to be as highly rated academically.
Yeah. So, and now white students are feeling the sting.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Some.
And like I said, on the surface, if you don't dig a little deeper, it doesn't seem fair.
No. But was it fair, as you mentioned, back in history? KBOI News Time, 8:45. When you hear well, you live well. Let the professionals at Treasure Valley Hearing help you today. Call 740-6020. That's 740-6020. Or go to treasurevalleyhearing.com. Here's Ron.
Well, we got some breaking news that apparently there's been another mass shooting, and this time at a theater in Germany. Now, we saw this come up on the headlines from the Associated Press. It said threat situation at a German movie theater, and then we saw something that said 25 injured. You know, and I'm thinking 25 injured is more than a threat situation. It seems like somebody is actually firing, but initial reports indicate that now up to 50 people have been injured. The police have used tear gas at the scene. The suspect is apparently barricaded inside the theater, and there has been no indication that the incident is terror-related, but I don't think it obviously matters to the people inside there.
No.
And this is in a country where gun laws are considered some of the strongest in the world, and that's Germany.
Yeah, it's in Wernheim, Germany, in western Germany near Frankfurt. We will follow this. Obviously, probably we'll have more information in the next hour or so before we get off the air. Yet another mass shooting.
Yeah, and it doesn't give a lot of comfort that it's not in the United States, because just anywhere, it's just a terrible thing to happen.
Supreme Court again working this morning blocked President Obama's effort to protect more than 4 million undocumented immigrants from the threat of deportation. This morning, deadlocking 4-4 over a plan that had divided the nation as well as the justices, the tie vote leaves intact lower federal court rulings that stopped the program in its tracks a year ago after Texas and 25 other states claimed Obama lacked the authority to go around Congress. It was a sudden, crushing defeat for millions of parents who came to the country illegally and have lived in the shadows, often for decades. The administration had hoped for at least one of the more conservative justices, possibly Chief Justice John Roberts, would rule that the plan posed no financial threat to the states and could not be challenged in court. Like several other tie rulings since Antonin Scalia's death in February, left the court with only 8 justices. The one-sentence opinion simply announced the court was equally divided and unable to muster a majority for either side.
Yeah.
That's all opponents needed to block the deferred action program, which would have offered qualifying parents of children who were born in the United States or are legal residents the right to remain in the country for 3 years and apply for work authorization. The president, with two lower court strikes against him, needed an elusive fifth vote. He didn't get it.
Right.
This thing has been quite the football.
Yeah, in this particular case, as you say, a tie vote means that the program will not go into effect, at least during the Obama administration, which lasts through about, the fourth week of January next year.
Immigration battle waged on two fronts before the court. The administration fought with the states as well as with the House of Representatives, which previously blocked the president's effort to confer legal status on some of the nation's more than 11 million illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
It melded with the presidential campaign in which Donald Trump has promised to crack down and deport the same people that Democrats Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders want to help. So a win for the Republicans, the conservatives this morning. Obama announced the deferred action for parents and Americans and lawful permanent residence, or DAPA program, in November of 2014 would extend protections to more than 4 million parents who meet the criteria, just as a 2012 program did for immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. Once qualified, parents could also apply for work authorization, pay taxes, receive some government benefits such as Social Security.
Right.
Those with criminal backgrounds or who have arrived since 2010
now,
do not qualify.
Of course, we already have a program that lets younger kids who came to the United States under the age of 16, lets them stay and be citizens.
700,000.
Yeah, and they were going to expand that and will not now. It's not dead. They were just trying to get the Supreme Court to agree to let them do this while it works its way through the lower courts, but they didn't give them permission.
KBOI News Time, 8:56. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. Paul, Jay, and Chris, 9:07. More details trickling in on the German movie theater shooting in Viernheim, Germany.
Mm-hmm. A man with either an automatic or semi-automatic weapon opened fire in a movie theater. And he said that's what, Viernheim?
Mm-hmm.
It's afternoon there.
They started shooting at 3.
And apparently they've released the fact that there are some fatalities now, but they don't know how many. But apparently somewhere between 20 and 50 are injured. And the more recent reports are saying that it's closer to 50. The shooter took hostages. But, according to this, has been captured thanks to rapid action by...
It's the first I've heard he'd been captured.
...anti-terror units of the local security forces there. And, yeah, that's the first I've heard, too. Because there's new information just about every minute coming
in. Yeah, he was wearing a mask, apparently. Shootings are rare in Germany. In 2002, a gunman opened fire at a high school in Erfurt, killing 16, mm-hmm. 13 staff members, 2 students, and a police officer. In 2009, a gunman dressed in military gear killed 15 in a spree that started at a school and spanned 2 small towns near Stuttgart. So at least 25 injured is what they're saying.
Now, an interior minister from Germany has said that the attacker was killed.
He was reportedly wearing a mask, carrying a gun and ammunition belt.
And the ammunition belt was slung over his shoulder. Apparently.
Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of pictures, and we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants here as things are coming in, and we're trying to keep you abreast of them.
It's
injuries caused by tear gas. Quite a few of the people were injured by tear gas, which is good news because it means the injuries aren't permanent or serious. Man, I don't know what's wrong with people. People are crazy.
Yeah. The latest, they're just saying dozens hurt. They still don't know any numbers. But if that's true, if the shooter has in fact been killed, then probably emergency responders are in the theater now.
Yeah. I still have not seen where he was killed, but you got that information. Oh, yeah, there it is. State Interior Minister says the attacker has been killed.
Yeah, and that's the latest, and now more people are picking up saying that he was shot dead.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, another day, another mass shooting. At least this one's not in this country. But, I mean, the pictures, doesn't matter what language or what country they're in, the pictures of people running and holding hands and walking out with their hands over their head. I mean, we've seen all of this way too many times. Way too many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, once is too many times, so yeah. Still looking at new information. Yeah, that several outlets are reporting that the gunman is dead. And as you said, a lot of them are reporting also that among the injured, some were shot, but that others were injured or are being treated because of the tear gas shot by the police.
Yeah, and, you know, stampede, if you will, injuries, you know, trying to get out of the movie theater, got tear gas going, can't see, those kinds of things. So we'll keep you updated. 25 injured, at least 25 injured. Chris says that there have been fatalities.
Well, that's one report. I've only seen one report that says there were, in fact, fatalities.
And that fatality, I suppose, could be the shooter.
Good point.
Because he's been reported killed by the state interior minister.
And as they say, he was killed fatally.
Yeah, killed fatally. All right, KBOI News Time is 9:11. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. All right, a gunman who opened fire in a movie theater in Germany has been shot dead. CNN confirmed that quite a while ago. Fox News now also saying that that happened. Wall-to-wall coverage. Oh, and in our KBOI rewards code, SIT, as in sit-in, S-I-T, SIT.
Don of Boise wrote in to ask, do we know what kind of gun laws Germany has? Yes, we do.
Yep.
They are very strict.
Yep.
And despite that, and Bill of Boise says, isn't it very difficult to get a gun in Germany? If so, more proof gun laws do not work. Yeah, it's very difficult, apparently, to get a gun in Germany. This guy had one, and so did the police, which is why he's dead.
Yeah. We don't know what kind of weapons he has at this point in time.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as these guys, the point they're making is we know that one guy had a gun, went into a theater, and we're pretty sure that nobody else was going to have a gun in there.
Yeah.
Because they can't.
Exactly. So
and of course the law-abiding people wouldn't have one.
And apparently a lot of the injured now we're hearing anyway that quite a few of them, I don't know if you call them superficial, but were injured trying to get away from this guy.
Yeah. So you know they may have trampled over other people or you know their eyes are being treated for the tear gas.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. David in Boise checking in. David, good morning.
Well, good morning. I know a little bit about the German gun laws.
Okay.
I lived there for 14 years.
Enlighten us.
And I had a German Jägersheim and a Waffenbesitzkarte, which means I had a German hunting license and a weapons possession card.
I was going to ask you if you'd seen a German doctor about those things.
Anyway, what they did in Germany after World War II, they basically, the Americans imposed and kept the old Nazi gun control laws. And they used it under the word that we use here under the 1968 Gun Control Act is for sporting purposes. Why do you need that weapon other than for a sporting purpose? And that was put together in the 1930s. By Hermann Göring. In fact, I was very interested in the gun laws, so I even visited his castle where he sat down and wrote those back in the mid-30s. But they kept those German Nazi gun laws to this day. And for many years, the American soldiers over there were not under those laws. They were under a different situation under the Status of Forces Agreement. But in about 1999, Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton sold the American soldiers out and put us all under the German gun laws, which were, like I said before, they were the old Nazi laws.
Yeah, we're just getting a report that approximately 50 people a year die of gunshot wounds in Germany.
Well, we didn't do those statistics. We were more concentrated on what we were supposed to be doing. That was hunting and possession of a weapon. And they were very strict about it, but it still doesn't prevent these things over there.
Oh, no, nothing
and,
can these days.
Until you start changing the moral fabric of the people back to where it used to be a long time ago, where these people had responsibility and respect for each other, You can impose all the laws you want. You can double the Nazi law that they have over there, and it's still not going to change what the outcome is.
Good stuff. Thanks, David. And he's right.
Do we live in a life and be each other? Do we live in? I don't know. Do we live in a time of every man for himself?
Kind of.
Like all. I'll be sure I get mine, but who cares about you?
Yeah. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich.
Well, if the fact that there was a shooting in Germany means that their gun laws don't work, what does it mean the fact that per capita we have like 30 times more gun deaths per year than Germany does?
Means ours don't work either, I guess.
Yeah, apparently the gun laws work, right? your logic that they don't work because they had a mass shooting, so you got to take that to the inverse. Apparently, they do work because we have 30 times more murders per capita.
How many times more people do we have in population?
Per capita means...
Oh, per capita. I didn't hear you say that.
Per capita, you know, for those out in
per
Canada, per 1,000, capita means
yeah,
per,
okay.
per person. I mean, as far as total deaths, I don't know. We have like 400% times more in total deaths, but in per capita, we have 30 times. Oh. So apparently, right. Gun laws work.
Excuse me, Rich.
Your same logic.
Hang on a second. We're getting a report now on the AP that says nobody was injured by the gunman at the theater. So 25 to 50 injuries.
Apparently, were all caused either by people
trying to get away,
or by the police when they were coming in with tear gas.
Yeah, so nobody injured.
Yeah, they
by
never.
Gunfire.
When they started hearing from authorities, and we started getting some reports from the police, they would not confirm that anybody had opened fire, which was the initial report. The initial report is somebody had opened fire in a theater in Germany, and there were 25 wounded at least. And then after that, we started getting more information that said maybe 50 were wounded. Several were probably dead. And
one report had a couple of fatalities.
And it's turning out, apparently, that there is one fatality, and it was the guy with the gun, but that he didn't kill anyone.
We're not even sure he shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we don't know that. All right, let's go to Jim in Marshing before we take a break. Jim, good morning. Hi, Jim. No, I think I screwed that up.
Oh, okay.
Hang on a second. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys, Paul J.
Okay.
If we've got somebody that's on this no-fly list that's too dangerous to be on an airplane, why are we allowing them to run around in a shopping mall or in a high school gym or work for the federal government? Could you guys answer that one for me?
Well, despite them being on a no-fly list, they still have certain rights if they're in this country. Now, you can't, you know, and in this country, we're still innocent until proven guilty. That's even if the FBI suspects you of something, they still have to get proof. And so a lot of these people that are on the no-fly list were put there because of the Patriot Act, and they're not allowed to get on a plane, or it's very difficult for them to do so. But that seems to be the only right that they've bothered to take away from them. And the way,
okay,
the
way, I guess that makes sense.
The way,
I don't know.
Well, the way somebody explained it the other day, which I thought was, well, it does seem odd. The way somebody explained it the other day, which I thought was kind of facetious, I thought the guy was just kidding. He said, well, it's because in the Constitution it says you have a right to bear arms, but it does not say in the Constitution you have a right to get on an airplane. And I thought, well, come on, that's stupid logic.
But it's logic,
yeah,
nonetheless.
I don't know. I just, it seems like if we can restrict, we've got enough of a law to restrict their movement from a plane, that maybe we should restrict their movements a little more than that, even.
Yeah, well, it would seem to make common sense. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. How many people are on the no-fly list, Chris? Thousands?
I have no idea.
Tens of thousands?
Really have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know it's been a big
hard
problem.
Hard to follow them.
Like if a guy, you know, named, you know, Mike Smith gets on the no-fly list, all of a sudden there are hundreds of people who have a problem.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call. KBOI News Time, 9:26. All right, till we are back, KBOI News Time, 9:37. A plethora of phone calls. Let's start with David in Boise. David, good morning.
Morning, guys. Being a person who used to be on the no-fly list, I can tell you that these ideas of restricting movement and not allowing gun sales and things like that are kind of crazy to me. I was on it for 6 years, and although I was allowed to fly, I almost missed every flight for about 6 years. It was a horrible experience. There was no way I could get off the list on my own.
Do you know why you were on it?
No. Well, I was told at one point that there was another David Nelson out there that had charges against him, and although I had government-issued ID that proved my birth date was not his birth date and my address was not his address, I'm telling you, I missed almost every flight for about six years. It was horrible.
And see, that's unfortunate, and that's like when I said Mike Smith earlier, that's kind of what I meant.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I can think of like four people, including you, named David Nelson, just off the top of my head. You know, Ozzy's oldest son, for one.
How did...
Exactly, yeah.
How did you get off the list?
I never knew, Paul J. I do know that there was a point in time when I was flying, my movements weren't restricted anymore. I could go through security just fine. I wasn't questioned at the gate. I don't know how many times I'd make it through security when I was on the no-fly list, and then TSA folks would come up while I was waiting at the gate. They would start asking me a whole bunch of questions. But anyhow, long story short is I don't know how I got off it. I just know at one point a few years ago, my movements weren't restricted in the airport anymore. So,
wow. Well, I'm good. Thanks for the interesting call. And I mean, in a country as big as this, mm-hmm. I mean, there are always David Nelsons out there. Thanks, David.
Yep.
Well, he used to be a guy on the Texas Rangers named Dave Nelson.
Exactly.
Bill of Boise. Oh, he's writing this directly to Rich, who we talked to earlier. He says, hey, Rich, you marvelous brainiac, how are the gun laws in Chicago and California working out? How many shootings and murders were there in Chicago over the same weekend as the Orlando shooting? According to USA Today, Chicago's murder rate soars 72% in 2016. Shootings up more than 88%. How are the bad guys getting guns? What about the nut job in England who shot the lady parliamentarian? How did he get a handgun when they are expressly forbidden? I know I am a conservative, and according to you, we're all idiots, but let me suggest this. Criminals don't give a hoot about the laws. No laws are going to stop them. I know not one word of what I said will get through to you, but hey, I offered. That's Bill of Boise.
Let's go to Jim of Nissa. Jim, good morning.
Hey, I just want to address the fellow that seem to think the gun laws are working. We have 30 times as many gun accidents or gun murders in the U.S., but 90% of those come from the areas that have no guns, that have strict gun laws. You forgot about some of that. You got to look at the statistics on all of it, but people like that, they won't look.
So what you're saying is this is a big country and gun laws aren't the same coast to coast.
Oh, yes. If you looked at how many gun deaths per capita in Texas compared to those in Chicago, It's unreal. Texas have none compared to them.
Yeah, and I'm sure L.A. is up there, too, in Baltimore and places like that where gun violence, you know, runs around. All it takes is as big as our cities are, two or three cities. And it's really
big gun state in Texas.
Yeah.
How many guns do you suppose we have in Idaho?
A bunch. Everybody's got two, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Or more.
Anyhow, thanks for letting me on.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Jim. Makes us think.
Dave of Boise says, how come instead of trying to control the guns in this country, we instead relax the current gun laws that will allow us to protect ourselves against terrorists, give us protection under the law instead of the bad guys? How's that for a solution? I wasn't entirely sure about some of that, but I mean, you know, that's why we have the current gun laws that we do now, including the semi-automatic. You can have a semi-automatic because that's what you're supposed to have stored somewhere in your house in case we need to be part of the militia.
Right.
You know, and in case the government decides somebody, let's say somebody in the U.S. Army decides he's going to overthrow the U.S. government and sends, you know, he's got enough people that he's convinced to work for him that he sends an army into a town to take over. That's when apparently we're supposed to get out our automatic weapons and go for a big body count.
Exactly.
And so, you know, different guns are for use on different things.
True. Let's go to Randy. Randy and Jerome. Randy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. The last time I looked at it, it was called the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
It wasn't called the Bill of Suggestions or the Bill of Recommendations or even the Bill of Privileges. And, you know, I think, Paul, you mentioned that, or Chris, it doesn't that sound logical to you? And, Paul, you said, well, yes, it's reasonable, it's logical, but, you know, I guess what, I like to think in a facetious way that that we're presumed innocent until proven stupid.
Not bad.
And then at that point, we're eligible to go to work for the government.
There you are.
So, and, you know, this hysteria and this, you know, this childish, kindergarten behavior sitting down on the floor of, you know, one of our houses of Congress.
Oh, the sit-in?
Yeah, the sit-down, the sit-in, the, you know, the.
It's been, are you still there? Oh, hang on just a sec. All right, you're back. Randy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you went away there for a minute.
But you're back.
Oh, did I? Okay. Yeah. They must have not liked what I was saying about the Congress.
Yeah. Got blocked by the feds.
So this is all recorded, I'm sure. But my point is that, you know, if you diminish one of those, I mean, the Bill of Rights, you know, they included those because the various members of the states of the convention, they weren't going to sign on the Constitution. They put those in as conditions to agree to a Constitution for all the states. And so, you know, when you pick on one, and you know, like First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fifth Amendment, you know, they're going to say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, why don't you tell us everything you did once you get in court? So, you know, the right that, you know, to not self-incriminate,
right?
You know, the right against self-incrimination. So my, you know, my point is like, you know, you can pick them apart, you know, but you know, years of erosion and test and court decisions, it always comes back to that. You know, they're really reluctant to really mess with those too much because, you know, without those, without our Bill of Rights and the Constitution, then we're left to nothing except regulation, interpretation, and just opinion. You know, so whoever is it, whichever way the wind blows, and you know, it's ironic that Boeing can sell like what 100 aircraft to Iran, but then some American who doesn't even know he's on the list might get stopped at the airport and say you're on the no-fly list.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Randy. And still the most interesting call of the day is a guy that was on the no-fly list. What a pain in the backside. KBOI News Time, 9:45. All right, update on the alleged thing at the German. It sounds like much ado about not much.
Well, you know,
in Germany.
And it sounds like the very first report that came in was true. They said about 25 people were injured in a German theater.
But not by the gunman.
When a guy came in with a gun.
Yeah.
And apparently that's the only thing we have confirmed, is that the guy came in with a gun. He's been shot dead by police. But we don't know that he injured anybody, but apparently people were hurt by tear gas.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, also came from the police.
Said he was believed to have fired shots and believed to have taken hostages. He was killed, as you said.
Yeah.
The police thought the gunman was holding hostages. Because of that, he was shot dead. It's unclear whether the shooter, well, I guess you can't call him a shooter. It's unclear whether his weapon was real.
Call him a toter.
So, they don't know if his gun was real or not. The Associated Press says no one was shot by the gunman. German media said dozens were treated for exposure to tear gas. So, there you have it. The latest is good news, because
that just could have been it could have been suicide by cop.
Yep, it could have been.
I mean, it's kind of elaborate to do it in a theater.
Yeah, but hey, theater of the mind. President Obama is going to speak on the immigration ruling shortly, and we talked about that early in the.
I'm thinking the word disappointed is going to come up.
Yeah, early in the show that it was a 2-2 deadlock, yeah. Which means.
And
the parents of legal children who are illegals,
yeah.
And
if they've been in, if they were brought to the United States before the age of 16, and this ruling, I mean, it would have expanded the program, or it would have allowed the government, the federal government, to expand the program, while the actual case about whether or not it's something we should do goes through the lower courts. And it's kind of a weird thing, because they were asking the Supreme Court for permission to implement the program while they're waiting to see whether it will be approved or not by the lower courts.
Yeah, and well, my reading
Which
on it was
convoluted, but
people who come here have anchor babies, and then before they've been able to stay, they now can face a deportation because they're not.
Yeah.
Citizens.
Well, it almost makes it sound like you will be deported, but your child can stay.
Yes.
Which, you know, it would be reasonably awkward, I think.
Well, yeah, and would be more than reasonably awkward.
Yeah. Curtis of Boise says, "Hey, Randy, you mean the way Ted Cruz sat there and read Green Eggs and Ham on the floor?" Yeah, we didn't like that either. That was the Republican Party, but... I don't like any of this stuff. You know, this is reminds me of in baseball when you want to intentionally walk a guy.
Yeah.
For years, they've been saying, you know, just say we're going to intentionally walk the guy and save time instead of having to throw four pitches.
Yeah.
But the reason they do that is because if the catcher decides to drop one, the base runners can, you know, advance anyway.
Yeah.
So they have to do it that way. But in Congress, they do the filibusters and they do the sit-ins and things like that. And it would be nice if they simply, you know, read a quick statement that said, here's what we believe, but, you know, we're all wearing suits and nobody wants to make a donkey out of themselves,
yeah.
So to speak.
President Obama talking on the immigration ruling, 26 states part of the Texas-led lawsuit against executive action on immigration, and that's the thing that the Republicans, mm-hmm. think he's overstepping his bound with all of the executive action.
And 24 states haven't done anything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And he goes on to say he's pleased about the Supreme Court ruling on affirmative action, which we talked about early
mm-hmm.
At the University of Texas. But his executive action, which would have allowed parents of citizens to remain in this country, get work visas, and then start getting... Social Security, things yeah. like that, that has been defeated.
Bob Boise says, I believe the way it is written is that we, the people, are supposed to have the same arms as our military. That's including automatic weapons. It's not actually written to include automatic weapons because they didn't exist at the time it was
no,
written.
No, and if you do the interpretation he did, we should all have tanks and airplanes.
Well, it just says bare arms. And it says first
things you can carry.
You know, and there are so many arguments about that. I mean, what is a well-regulated militia? Does that mean you have a whole bunch of rules, or does that just mean that everyone's informed? What does it mean?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So there, it's
they
some
take
of those
it very seriously. I had a place in Montana for years. The militia up there.
Yeah,
I mean it's a deal there. So
well.
Anyway.
And what they're trying to prevent, they probably could.
Yeah. 9:55. Open phones Friday. Tomorrow we'll talk about anything on your mind. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
To Brexit or not to Brexit? That's the question. Today, the United Kingdom will have an incredibly important vote. Should they remain part of the European Union, or are they better off without it? The vote has been dubbed Brexit. Some real benefits to Britain for remaining in the EU, for sure. The political establishment is on board, much of the right, including Prime Minister Cameron, joining with all of the left. Business is on board as well. But regular folks? Well, not so much. They are concerned that they put more into the European Union than they get back. Ease of trade brings cheaper products but fewer jobs. Ease of travel makes the family vacation hassle-free but also brings in more visitors and immigrants to Britain who may never want to leave. This conversation sound familiar? The UK's decision this week might give us a sense of how November could go here in the States. And if it happens in Great Britain, look out for France, Denmark, and others. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.